It's been less than a year since the city of Seattle prohibited landlords from screening renters based on their criminal background, and now the city's being sued over it. In a complaint filed this week, landlords and the state's Rental Housing Association say the new law prevents property owners from protecting themselves and their existing tenants. And one of the people suing is William Shadbolt. He's a landlord and president of the board of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. Welcome, William.
Thank you very much, Bill.
And we still have on the line Seattle City Councilmember Lisa Herbold, who co-sponsored this rental law. Thanks for staying with us, Councilmember.
Absolutely.
William, as a landlord, how does this law prevent you from protecting yourself and your tenants?
Well, I'm more concerned about my tenants. You know, the single mother that has a couple of young kids that are in one of my duplex units, you know, she passed a criminal background check, and she would like to know who else is going to be in that house sharing the backyard with her. You know, it's definitely something that is, it's public record. You know, the next door neighbor can literally go onto the internet and look up criminal records. Yeah, the city of Seattle is saying to landlords, no, you can't. And we actually had an interesting one where a tenant wanted to have a roommate, and the landlord said, great. And so the tenant turned around and said, can you do a criminal background check? The answer is no. She ended up moving out of the city of Seattle because she couldn't afford to stay here without a roommate.
And William, the Rental Housing Association says the law violates your free speech rights. Explain that briefly.
Yeah, certainly. So there is precedent in the U.S. Supreme Court that basically says, you know, if there's something that's public record, the government shouldn't restrict one segment of society from being able to look at that that information.
Mm-hmm. And when he signed this bill last year, the mayor, Ed Murray, at the time, said that using criminal records in housing is unfair. This is a bit of his comment.
We know that African-American men are 6 times as likely to be incarcerated compared to white men. This discriminatory bar to housing falls disproportionately on those people of color, just by that statistic alone.
William, do you agree that despite its merits or not, do you agree that using criminal records in tenant screening is, in practice, discriminatory? It has a discriminatory effect.
No, because we already have existing rules around this issue before the city of Seattle came in with this onerous ordinance. So under state law, you can only look back 7 years on criminal records. And in 2016, HUD gave official guidance that on criminal records and arrest records, you've got to look at the nature of the criminal action, how long has passed since then, and kind of the nature of it, the severity of it.
Seattle City Councilmember Lisa Herbold, you co-sponsored this this ordinance that's being challenged. What's your response? Shouldn't landlords be able to use their own discretion about who lives on their property?
Well, I'd first like to really respond to the concern, which I respect, the concern that folks who rent housing have for their tenants. But you know, back when we were debating this legislation, I heard from tenants in apartment buildings managed by Pinnacle Stadium Place in Widener in response to their landlord sending out a notice to their tenants urging them to contact us in opposition to the bill. I've got quotes from 6 different tenants in response. One is, I'm commenting because the property management company that manages my apartment, Widener, has put a scare alert out to us tenants under the guise of keeping us safe by advocating keeping a longer screening window. I disagree with them and fully support the policy as proposed. I think helping people who have served their time get off the streets and remove barriers to their integration back into society keeps us safer. Another one is, discrimination against ex-offenders does not keep us safe. It endangers the whole community. Housing and employment are critical to the success of ex-offenders rejoining society. Ex-offenders are 7 times less likely to re-enter the criminal justice system if they have housing. I would expect anybody who's concerned about their safety of their community to support this legislation.
William, what about this rental law helping to lower barriers for people who have served their time?
Well, there's definitely a couple of different segments of the market of people who serve their time. There's people coming immediately out of prison, and they do need extra supportive help. And in fact, a former board member of the Rental Housing Association, his entire business model is housing people coming out of prison. But then there's the people that have been out of prison for quite some time and are looking for housing. And the problem is it's basic, it's economics 101, it's supply and demand. We have more demand and not enough supply of housing in this city. and what it is it's manifesting, whether it's on the affordability side or the use of criminal records, the city has too much demand for the supply of housing. Now, I guess the city is looking at reducing the demand by annoying Amazon enough that they're not going to hire people here. But, you know, we would, through the entire process of this, we put forward a couple of different ideas, different alternatives that would, in a constitutional way...
What's an alternative?
So we suggested, there was two different ones that we put forward. One was kind of similar to the employment ban the box, where landlords wouldn't know about criminal records until after they'd made an offer. And then only after that, they would come back and could only turn somebody down if there was a good business reason for that.
What about that idea, Councilmember Herbold, a sort of ban the box curtain?
You know, there's been a lot of interesting research done recently about the ban the box models, particularly for employment, but also for housing. And it actually has a greater disparate impact on people of color because people are bringing their implicit bias to the table before even beginning the screening process based on the sound of people's names. And so they're coming up unintentionally and sometimes unconsciously with other ways to screen out people who they think might be people with criminal backgrounds.
I know you disagree on that. You said there's one. Give me one more alternative, William.
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, the Rental Housing Association supported on the state level a certificate of restoration of opportunity. So one of the things that we realized is that people coming out of prison, there's a lot of occupational licenses that they cannot get because of those criminal records. And so we suggested doing a local one, kind of as a trial in the city of Seattle for housing, where somebody with a criminal record could go to an impartial panel and show that they have change their ways.
How do they show that?
Well, it would be the time since they've lapsed since they've come out, that they've got a stable employment, you know, maybe references from other people in society. And in turn, they could take that to the small landlord that is our typical member at the Rental Housing Association. And, you know, we were also discussing as part of that maybe having a mitigation fund, that if a landlord did take somebody in that circumstance, they would have access to a mitigation fund.
Okay, Councilmember Herbold, what about requiring something more of someone? Just because you've served your time doesn't necessarily mean you're peaceful and honest. What about requiring more of such an applicant?
Well, again, I think one of the things that we're forgetting here is that the ability to do the kind of screening that landlords are doing right now is relatively new. New access to data has historically been less accessible. This allows landlords to reject tenants because they've been arrested or and in other cases not even convicted. And so the opportunity for restoration doesn't even address the fact that landlords can screen somebody for being arrested and screen them out. And so, I mean, the basic fundamental problem is that the fundamental tenet of our justice system is that, one, only a court of law can punish somebody accused of a crime. And you know, the impact of blocking somebody from accessing stable housing based on their criminal background violates this tenet of our justice system and is inconsistent with the rule of law. You're basically giving landlords an extrajudicial power to punish somebody.
Yeah, William, what about the unprecedented power that landlords who screen now have? That this is a different world where you can find out a lot more. But I've heard the Justice Department says one in three American adults has an arrest or a conviction record. I mean, isn't that just simply keeping too many people out of a fundamental part of living, which is having a roof over your head?
So I want to address that point that this is some kind of new thing that's just come about is absolutely untrue. The state has had the judicial information system since the 1980s. There's been easy access to judicial records provided by the state from the 1980s. Prior to that, screening companies had their own database. I talked to a friend of mine who's been in the rental housing industry for 50 years. She's been screening criminal records for 50 years. So the idea that this is just something that's recently come about is just not true. But, you know, the idea of looking at arrest records, you know, the question is this person going to be a stable tenant? If somebody's been arrested and about to go on trial, even if they're not found, if they're found not guilty, there's a likelihood they're going to have massive legal expenses. But, you know, take the example of the landlord in Wallingford that was stabbed to death, allegedly by her roommate. Now, assuming that person gets out on bail, I'm guessing they're going to be looking for another roommate to situation. Now, that particular person, if they don't own their own place, if they're renting and they want to get a roommate in, they can't look at criminal records. Is that really fair?
Do you have it? Do you want to make a quick answer to that? And then we're about out of time. I want to wrap it up with one more question. Any response?
Well, I mean, I'm not quite sure if the question is about fairness or is it, it's a question about liability. But, you know, landlords have never been legally required to screen for a criminal background. And so they're not liable for not screening. So this question, I think, is really a red herring.
Final question, Councilmember Herbold. When it comes to rental law, a judge already ruled against the city for making landlords accept the first qualified renter who applied. If you were to lose this legal challenge, would you say the city was being overzealous, overstepping the law, and making your constituents pay to defend that litigation?
Well, I think a lot of people who are a heck of a lot smarter than I am on the issues surrounding the first in time law feel strongly that the lower court decision was simply a bad decision. So
it's on appeal.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there are a lot of other really important principles at play around that particular case. So I'm really glad that the city attorney is moving forward with that appeal. You know, we are in a homelessness crisis in this city, and the BIPOPI report a couple years ago now identifies the barriers that people in this city have to accessing housing as our greatest challenge. And so by working on addressing these barriers, we are really trying to put into place the recommendations that report has challenged us to move forward on. You know, William's right. We have a supply challenge in the city, a supply of housing issue. But what that does is that creates a situation where landlords can cherry pick applicants, and the folks who most need housing and are most likely to not have other supports and other resources, it increases the number of people who are living on our streets.
Okay.
You know, people,
yes.
Just one other quick thing. People point to the questions that they have around our Human Services Department funding and the outcomes. We just got the 2017 numbers. There were more than 5,000 exits to permanent housing with the city's homelessness dollars. More than 5,000 exits. Mm-hmm. More people are falling in every year.
Let's end on the agreement between the two of you that housing is scarce and expensive. Lisa Herbold, Seattle City Council member, voted to pass the original rental ordinance. Thank you. William Shadbolt, President, Board of the Rental Housing Association of Washington, and a landlord himself, and will watch the legal case as the city's prohibition on landlords from screening renters based on criminal background, that is being legally challenged. William, thank you for this time.
Thank you very much.
Back with more of the news on KOW's The Record. What should you know when you submit a DNA sample? Stay tuned.